Today we kind of reach the crossroads of cultural anthropology. And you will get cultural anthropology credits after the Mass today if you want them. But if we could simplify, you know, some of the kinds of paradigms that are used in it, there are two kinds of cultures, really. One you might call a high group culture, and another you might call a low group culture. The vast majorities of cultures start off as high group cultures, and then they eventually move to low group cultures. And much of that, by the way, happened because of Jesus. What's a high group culture? A high group culture is one where the culture itself, the group itself, dominates, and the individual, and specifically the individual's identity, is very subservient to the group's identity. And I've talked about this a little bit before. I'm Bob Spitzer, the American. The American group is really important. I'm just a little speck. I'm Bob Spitzer, the Catholic. The Catholic group is exceedingly important. I derive my identity from it. I'm just a little speck in the midst of this much more important group. A low group culture, of course, is the opposite, the one we're so used to in the United States. Well, the individual is what's important, and of course, the individual gathers together. And so what is America? Well, America is comprised of the individuals that compose it. What's the Catholic Church? Why, that's comprised of the individuals that compose it, and so forth. So the idea that the group is kind of the sum of its individual parts is a kind of low group culture. Now, of course, the Catholic Church is much more than that, because Jesus is, after all, the unity of the whole mystical body of Christ. So, of course, that's going to factor into all of this. But for just a moment here, we can see that what Jesus is doing is shifting the whole basis of culture. For the Israelites, God wasn't really so much concerned with the individual, right? Spitzer, mosquito, essentially. God's okay with you, but God's much more concerned about the people, Israel, the group. And of course, people derive their value from belonging to that group. And because of that, authority figures have incredible importance in a high group culture. And not only authority figures, but the law. So if you were to ask a good first century Jewish person, what's more important, the law or individual people? I mean, there'd be no question. The law, you dummy. The law's the word of God. Individual people, mosquitoes, right? Who cares? I mean, they come, they go. You know, not a big deal. And of course, now comes, right, what's at the essence of the law? Well, there are many things, but one of the biggies is the Sabbath. I mean, that is just a huge mega deal. And it's like a shining representation of Torah itself, the law itself. So now comes Jesus. And what's he telling? Yesterday, what did we see? Jesus says the time of the Messiah is here. The time of the bridegroom is here. The time of the wedding feast is here. Right, this is going to be the trans. So he doesn't permit his disciples to fast. Ooh, this is getting really, right. Now today, here they are picking up the grains of wheat as they're going through the field, which is a violation, right, of no work on the Sabbath, violation of this central tenet of the law. And there the Pharisees are. They don't know any better. They're high group guys. They think they've got it down. And look here, you know, what are your disciples doing, right? They're eating grain on the Sabbath. And of course, Jesus, we know, puts the question to them at the end. what's more important, the law, namely the Sabbath, or human beings, man, right, representing human beings. What's more important is, are human beings made for the law, subservient to the law, or is the law made for human beings? Which is it? Pharisees think they know. They think that the answer has to be the law is more important than human beings, right? That human beings were made for the law, not the law for human beings. And Jesus, using the two historical examples, turns everything upside down on its head and says, actually, what God really values is those individual human beings. Each one of those little individual, precious, eternal souls is more important to God than the law, and the law was actually made for each and every one of those precious, eternal human beings that has a kind of inestimable dignity in the eyes of God, created by God for that inestimable dignity and destiny. This does not compute. But it will compute, and it will, of course, be the very thing. Whatsoever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do unto me. Right now it doesn't compute, but low group cultures coming in, right? The idea that the individual has this incredible importance is coming into view. This is going to undermine the whole notion of slavery. Slavery can't exist in a low group culture, but it can, of course, exist in a high group culture, because the group, you know, makes the individual much more subservient to it. And so we can see things are changing. It's going to be a movement from the law and justice to love and mercy as the highest virtue. From a high group virtue to a low group virtue, right? From a high group virtue to an individualistic virtue. We're going to see the individual dignity of every human being. And the individual dignity of even the least of human beings. The individual dignity of the slaves. We're going to see the importance of serving each individual. That mercy and love and forgiveness and forbearance are going to be much more important than justice and the law. And suddenly culture is being turned on its head. And with one little supra-historical example, what we're beginning to see is the entire earth, the entire world, the intellectual conception, the self-conception of the cultural and intellectual world just turned on its head by this itinerant preacher who is none other than the Son of God. Amen.